This is Noongar Radio, and this is the Law Matters program for another fortnight here on 100.9 FM, broadcasting out of the Noongar Radio studios in Perth, but also broadcast throughout the country via the National Indigenous Radio Service and up in Fitzroy Crossing as well in the north of Western Australia through Wonky Radio. Great to have your company for another fortnight. Jodie Hoffman with you this hour, and I hope you can stay with us. Coming up this hour, talking about Sorry Day, a very significant annual event on our calendar. And Sorry Day occurs around the country on the 26th of May each year. Joining us in this hour is Jim Morrison, who is from the Bringing Them Home WA Committee, as well as being involved with Connecting Home. We're going to be talking about the significance of Sorry Day, some of the events that are happening, particularly in Perth, and why it is such an important date on the calendar. Before that, though, we'll be meeting a couple of the lawyers from the Aboriginal Legal Service Civil and Human Rights Unit. Paul Garzia and Sarush Razi join me to have a chat about some of the matters that they've been involved with the Civil and Human Rights Unit, and also some recent trips up to the Kimberley region of Western Australia. Hope you can stay with me. This is the Law Matters program brought to you every fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. And coming up at about half past the hour, we're chatting with Jim Morrison about Sorry Day, which of course is happening on the 26th of May around the country. Really significant date on our calendars. We're going to be talking about the significance of Sorry Day, why it's so important, and letting you know how you can find out about some Sorry Day events in your area. But before that, a little closer to home, we're chatting with a couple of our lawyers now from the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. They're actually based in Perth, but they have been up around the East and West Kimberley region in the last week and doing some pretty exciting work and meeting lots of great people along the way. So welcome to the program, Paul Garzia, who's the manager of the Civil and Human Rights Unit at the ALS. How are you going, Paul?
Good, Jode. How's
very yourself? Good. And Sarush Razi, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jody. How are you?
Good. I'm glad you're both on the same microphone. I wasn't sure till I pressed that button that you would be. It has been a busy year for the Civil and Human Rights Unit. Paul, as the manager, maybe just give us a bit of an overview of some of the work that the unit's been undertaking this year.
All right, Jodie. Basically, I'll start off with our Civil Law Outreach Service, which, as you know, that commenced in 2013. Now it's up and running. We initially got off the ground in the East Kimberley, which Sarush runs, the West Kimberley, which I run, and the Pilbara, which Alice Barter runs, but she's currently on leave, so Sarush is taking that spot for the moment. In early 2014, Civil Law Outreach Service was extended out to the Goldfields and Southern Region, and even since then we've now extended the service to the Midwest Gascoyne areas. So it's resulted in the main areas, or the main regional areas being serviced by our practice, and the areas that we really focus on are, especially in the regions, is consumer protections, and Sarush and I have both had consumer protection matters that we can speak about if you'd want us to today. But consumer protection matters where, for example, unscrupulous, dodgy traders seek to rip off Aboriginal people in the remote areas of Western Australia because they think they can get away with it, basically, to put it bluntly. We do work in coronial inquests, inquiries relating to deaths in custody, particularly discrimination and equal opportunity matters, police complaints and complaints against authority figures such as transit guards, prison officers, that sort of thing, unlawful imprisonment matters. Projects that we run include, victims of the state, for example, the stolen wages, stolen generation and redress are examples, and another project that we're currently running, our field officer Suzanne Randall is concentrating on the Royal Commission into institutional responses to child sexual abuse.
So when you say you're doing outreach programs, what does that involve? Are you running workshops? Are you visiting communities and setting up meetings?
Yeah, I'll take that one if you want.
Yeah,
no, Sarush? I can continue if you like. Just very quickly, and then I'll let Sarush go. Sorry, Sarush. We do a bit of both of running workshops and that sort of thing. Visiting community members, it's a very important part of our work that we actually, make contact with the elders of communities and the communities generally, especially the remote ones. And, you know, meet and greet people face to face. But I'll let Sarush.
No. You've answered the question. I'll let you finish it.
Sorry. Yeah. So basically, that's what we do. We do community meetings. One good example of community meetings, which happened not by a result of what we commenced, but by the result of what the Department of the Attorney General in Western Australia commenced, to these what are known as open days, and they visit regional areas. Sarush went on one recently in the East Kimberley. I went on one recently at the Dampier Peninsula, covering Beagle Bay for 2 days, Jadangin community and Ardealoon, better known as One Arm Point community. And those open days have the following agencies: their Registry of Births, Deaths and Marriages, Fines Enforcement Registry and the Sheriff, Department of Transport, Centrelink, Killari Aboriginal Corporation for the Dampier Peninsula, Life Without Barriers, concentrating on getting people's driver's licence and that sort of thing, and us, of course, we accompany them on some of these open days. It's really good because whilst we don't do licensing matters, Suzanne Randall and I went up recently, and particularly at One Arm Point, we were drafting out people's extraordinary licence applications for them, going over to the Department of Transport and actually saying, look, when did this guy get his life disqualification, and filling in the blanks and saying, all right, and advising the individual how to go off to court, lodge the application and stand up and talk up for himself. So
I understand there was a close encounter with a snake when you got up there as well.
There was.
What happened?
Oh, well, Suzanne and I got out of the car at night to check in to the accommodation, and basically we were walking from the reception area, and this Irish bloke goes, oh, there's a snake, and, you know, I probably don't do the accent well, but there's a snake, and it was a python, a black-headed python, but we kind of walked past it a bit nervously, and...
And totally different landscape up there, isn't it? And you weren't staying in motels or anything. It's sort of those tent setups.
Yeah, tents. Yeah, safari tents. But, you know, we had our esky for our food and that sort of thing. So
describe the landscape for us, because it's a lot different to working out of an office in Perth.
Absolutely it is, Jodie. It's, for example, that whole coastline of the Dampier Peninsula's white sand and red cliffs, typically, that sort of thing. A lot of, you know, obviously there's it's very remote, so, you know, we were driving from where we were accommodated at Signet Bay down to Beagle Bay for work for the first 2 days, and it was just so much different to driving around the city. It was, you know, 100 plus kilometres, but it took us just over an hour to get to and from work each day. The landscape's just, you know, it's pretty isolated, I suppose, but there are a lot of people around, but it's isolated and quite, you know, quite peaceful. So.
How beneficial is it, Paul, to be up in some of our more regional areas of the state and find out firsthand what sort of services are available for people and where services need to be picking up in terms of, I guess, the sort of information that we can give community members about the services that the Aboriginal Legal Service provides?
All right. For example, when I attended Broome recently, this is last year, I went and saw the Kimberley Community Legal Service about some tenancy matters and that sort of thing. Look, we don't normally do tenancy matters, but with our, you know, service delivery directions, one of these matters came to my attention where the KCLS, or Kimberley Community Legal Service, were conflicted out, and I agreed to take it on and did the hearing in Broome. But they're really important. The hostels, like the old people's homes and that sort of thing, the Aboriginal hostel in Broome, where you actually see a lot of people and meet with a lot of, you know, staff and potential clients there as well. But it is good. It's really important to get out, you know, get your face out there into the community and meet people. Our offices in the regions are a really good point of contact, especially with our court officers who know the communities. And, you know, they'll put us in touch with, oh, do you want to go and see, for example, Brand New Day, which is an old people's home, basically. And there's a lady there and you can see this person. And, you know, you just talk to people and you just, I make it a practice, and I'm, and Sarush does too, of going out there and just saying, oh, by the way, we also act in these sorts of matters, and just having a general yarn, that's the best way to
It's too good an opportunity, isn't it, not to sort of be able to diversify information that we're given if you're there and people are asking questions, hey?
Yeah, that's right. There's no substitute for that, hey?
So, Roosh, over the last few years since you've been with the Aboriginal Legal Service, you've managed to get out bush a fair bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how are you enjoying the Kimberley work?
Yeah, really, really important work we're doing. And in the last month, or well, last six or seven months, I've also been out in the Pilbara looking after that area for a colleague. And working on these Aboriginal Justice Day programs. They're really good programs, especially because we get to link in with the other service providers. So you can imagine people who, you know, Department of Transport and Births, Deaths and Marriages, and a lot of the basic problems that people have, you'd be surprised how many people don't even have their births registered. And when you put all the services in one room like that, quite often you'll find a whole lot of other legal needs that people might have. So we're really lucky to have come into this program, and it's quite exciting. But yeah, it's been quite exciting heading up to the Kimberley. Hopefully I'll be up there in a couple of weeks again. And it's just so important, because while there is always need for legal services in Perth, there's just such a great need in regional areas for services like ours, because that's where people don't have access to justice.
You're saying that people don't have information about their birth certificates and stuff. Where do you start with something like that? Do you just sort of make applications through the normal process? Because I imagine if you haven't got the barest essentials of identification, it's going to affect all areas of your life in terms of being able to prove who you are.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not uncommon for us to have had people in the past come to us with some really strange situations where, for example, they've had birth certificates, but they've kind of been lost in floods and fires and stuff like that. And because they're underage or they're under 18, they haven't been able to access them, because usually it's only the parents that can. So with births, deaths and marriages here in WA, there are Indigenous-specific officers. And so we're happy to refer people. If they're unsure of where to go to, we'll find the contacts and refer them onwards. And it's not that hard a process, because they have justice days like these every few months in some of the remote areas, where you can go out and have some of these issues sorted out. But, you know, when all else fails, the ALS is here, so give us a call and we'll try and set you on the right path.
So it sounds like by the time you're actually getting to the communities, everyone knows you're coming. It's all organised, and people come, I imagine, travelling quite some miles to come and ask some questions.
Definitely, although life in remote areas never works out as expected. I've had to cancel days, for example, out in Junjunjara, because there's been law business going on.
Yes.
So you've always got to be aware that just because you have a timetable that you need to meet doesn't mean someone else will need to meet that timetable, because they've got their own cultural needs. So yeah, it's sometimes it's always funny trying to shift around these dates and get to the different parts of the state.
Yeah, and adding on to what Sarus has just said, I was in the Fitzroy Crossing office not that long ago, a few months back, where I came across one of these consumer matters where somebody was ripped off by $5,000. But we were just waiting at the office. Steve Carter, who's in our office in Fitzroy Crossing, we were just sitting there and basically talking to people as they passed by, just having a yarn about what we do. And a couple of people who Steve told I was coming, they turned up at an uncertain time. It was just, it was really good, and we sort of took them in, and now I've got a file open for this dodgy car salesman, so...
That might need to be a bigger file, hey?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's right. I know from topics we've spoken about here before, there's a lot of dodgy dealings going out in communities with cars and sales and door-to-doors, and the scams are getting really professional, aren't they? Online scams, and anyone can fall prey to them.
Oh, that's right. And they're changing their entities, like their business names and that sort of thing all the time, aren't they?
And I suppose people don't expect it so much, but people in remote areas are online just like everyone else. Everyone's got a smartphone these days, and so you'll find some amazing online scams
in remote areas going on. But the same kind of pitfalls that people have in the cities. But of course, in the city, you just can walk straight from here over to consumer protection and report it. And that kind of access to services just doesn't exist, which is why we need to go out there and do the preventative stuff, talk to people, tell them to be aware of their rights and be cautious when they're engaging in online services.
I'm talking to Sarush Razi and Paul Garzia from the Civil and Human Rights Unit at the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. This is the Law Matters program, and we'll be back with more in a second. It's incredible to think that we're nearly into June, which means July. NAIDOC week is coming up. The year is absolutely flying. My guests at the moment are Paul Garzia and Sarush Razi from the Civil and Human Rights Unit at the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. We've been talking about the outreach work and stuff that's happening throughout the north of our state through the Aboriginal Legal Service, and basically getting out and about amongst community to provide information on your human rights and all working together to protect and promote our human rights and help you out with whatever legal assistance we can in the process. We're just about out of time, fellas, but do want to mention that throughout June and July there's some more trips coming up that people can keep an ear out for. Who wants to start off with what's happening?
Actually, this is unscripted, but we also have a lawyer going down south next week.
That's right.
So where is June? Can you
25th of May. That's Monday, isn't it? Yeah,
yes,
it's Monday.
Yes.
Anyway, Heather Maniglio from our unit's going down to the southwest. And look, this is off the cuff. I have corresponded with her about it, but she's going to Mandra, Bunbury, Collie, and I think she's going back through Mandra as well. But
we'll get it up on the website, yeah, as you suggested, Jodie. We'll get up on the website where it is so people can find out where it is, and our intention is to service the south as well. So
brilliant.
That will be us opening up there. First week of June, I'll be in joining the Justice Day program in South Headland and at Marble Bar. And then the second week of June, I'll be up in the Kimberley, probably Cunnanurra and Horse Creek.
Fantastic. Yep.
In late July, I'll be in the West Kimberley, so in Broome and probably in Fitzroy Crossing as well. Basically, in June as well, there is, I think Sarush just mentioned it anyway, a Pilbara circuit. We also have a Southern circuit in, obviously, starting next Monday with Heather Maniglio, and starting in early July as well. We have end of June Goldfields, Jacinta Ricketts. She'll be going to the Goldfields. And people can find out by just contacting me at the civil unit if they want to about the specific areas that each solicitor's travelling.
Brilliant. All right. Well, we'll try and get a little link set up on our website that talks about the regions that you're going to. But at the end of the day, remember that dates can change for one reason or another. You can always ring and ask for our civil unit on free call 1800 019 900, 1800 019 900 to find out about those circuits that are coming, hopefully, to a community near you. Sarush Razi and Paul Garzia, thank you for your time. And we'll want to hear some more yarns when you get back from the next community, because I'm sure you're meeting some incredible people.
Absolutely.
And having a lot of laughs as well as talking a lot of serious issues, hey?
Yeah. Thanks, Jodie.
Okay, thanks. Coming up next here on Law Matters, Jim Morrison joins us. We're going to be talking about Sorry Day. I tell you what, Jim Morrison is in the studio with me, and I know you need no introduction, Jim, but I'm going to give you one anyway. You're here talking because I love having a yarn with you anyway, but it is also Sorry Day on the 26th of May, and for those who aren't aware, Jim Morrison is the co-chair of the Bringing Them Home Committee in Western Australia, also involved with Connecting Home, a service for the stolen generations, which Jim's going to tell us a little bit more about because it's actually a Melbourne-based organisation. But a hugely significant part of the year. But before we get on to talk about Sorry Day, Jim, how you been? What's happening?
Pretty
Give
good.
Us some gossip.
Good morning, Whadjuk City. Hey, well, that's Perth. I don't know where you're listening from, but...
Do you want to... I can tell you where people are listening from, Jim. They're listening today on Noongar Radio, so That's far and wide. We've also recently, a few months back, been joined by Wonky Radio up in Fitzroy Crossing, who broadcast this program every second Friday lunchtime. And on every second Tuesday afternoon, we're heard on the National Indigenous Radio Service. So you can talk loud and proud throughout the country.
Good morning or good afternoon to all my brothers and sisters around the country, and especially those that have Stolen Generation people that have, that have come from mission days, or, and I hope you're doing well.
You're very involved in community generally. I know that when the Aboriginal Legal Service had its 40th birthday gala celebrations in Perth in November, you were our first choice for one of the co-MCs.
Oh, you were desperate, I know.
No, we weren't. And no stranger to hosting NAIDOC events. And, God, in the old days, the karaoke's raising money for
Noongar Rokies.
How important is community to you, Jim Morrison?
Well, it's important to all of us, I think, especially when we're yarning and talking through issues. It's good medicine, it's good healing. But no, community is everything for us. It's our survival. I mean, people need to be aware, listeners, that, you know, we've been here 2,000 generations before Cook. And we're a strong community, we're a resilient community. Even our Stolen Generation peoples that I meet all over the place are very resilient, very sad, but resilient. And, we're a strong mob, oldest living culture on the planet. We've got to be.
In Perth every year, the annual Sorry Day event is held in Wellington Square in East Perth. It's been incredible to see the growth of that event over the years. I think it's fair to say that thousands attend that event now. Would you agree?
Oh, look, we've got almost 1,000 school children confirmed this year. And, we don't do that on our own. Bringing them home is an advocacy group, and we work in very closely with Reconciliation Western Australia, and we have got some good sponsors like Caritas and ICEA and AIMS and Department of Education. Red Cross also gave us a little bit of money recently to, you know, facilitate the event. Primarily it's an education day. It's all about truth. Sorry Day is a very sorry day, a sad day, because 18 years ago that the Bring Them Home report was tabled. So we commemorate that every year, rain, hail or snow, and it's really to remind people of the issues that we're dealing with. And only today we're hearing more and more of the Royal Commission and the sad case of children being sexually abused. Well, that's not new to Aboriginal people, and I'm quite saddened that the Bring Them Home report has had very few of its 54 recommendations implemented. And I firmly believe if they were taken seriously 18 years ago, we wouldn't have some of the situations that we have now. You know, 53% of our kids in care, 53% of the kids in care are Aboriginal, and that's right across the country. It's just getting worse. So I think there needs to be a good, strong look at what the Bring Them Home report had, some of the recommendations that haven't been implemented. I mean, yeah, it is really quite a sad day, but it's one that we need to remind people of the issues. And Stolen Generation people may come down. They might reunite with family that I haven't seen for a while. And we have had cases where people have been united with family that they've never met before. So it's those sort of days, and these days are right across the country, and sometimes it's not held on the same day. It might be held last week, or it might be held the week after, given it's a Sorry Day is the start of Reconciliation Week. We're seen as something different, sadly. So Reconciliation Australia don't necessarily see Sorry Day as part of reconciliation. But unless we have truth, justice and healing, we won't have reconciliation.
I was watching telly last night, and there was a small article on a couple of fellas over east who have started up just at a local level, just going round and sitting and yarning with homeless people and hearing their stories and trying to put a public face to a homeless person who's sleeping across in that shop front, and just trying to educate the wider community that, hey, everybody's got their story. I think since I landed in WA almost 30 years ago from Adelaide, I I can't stop being inspired by the strength and resilience of people who've shared their stories during that time. And there's some incredible stories, Jim, of hardship faced and people not knowing their families growing up. But the strength is there, isn't it?
That's for sure. And I mean, when the Royal Commission began all those years ago, and it's been extended now and costing a fortune, I was quite strong about the Royal Commission being for white fellows. Because we've had our Royal Commission, we've had our Bringing Them Home review, and very little of that's been taken to heart. But I'm pleased to see that over 28% of the victims going to the Royal Commission are Aboriginal. And there are some cases there that would make your hair turn. And I'm reminded of a lady from Sydney who shared her abuse to the Royal Commission from Parramatta Girls Home, and it was just powerful. I know the woman personally, she was on a national board with me, but when we would have meetings, she would lie on the floor in the corner and hear us, but not participate. Talk, but not really participate. She was in pain all the time, and it was just the trauma from her period being removed. So it's good to that extent, and I know now that the Rheta Dixon evidence has meant that the Rheta Dixon people in Darwin are now have a lawyer pro bono who's going to look at their compensation issues. So to me, there's a lot of work to be done, and I just don't believe that the broader public understand the issues around that removal. I mean, I call our people being removed and put into concentration camps. And Noel Pearson was right recently. I mean, there is some similarities between Aboriginal people and Jewish people, but not to the extent that he talks about, and that we were removed, and a lot of our people didn't make it, you know, and we need to understand what has happened to those people that were put into what people call missions. So, mind you, I think there's a good case for us to take back our missions and use them our way.
I know that Rowlands is a place in Western Australia that community members go back to regularly, and I know from people that I've known over the years who grew up in Rowlands that the other kids that they are in that mission with were their family, because that was the family they had.
Yeah, we Bring Them Home facilitated a healing camp down there recently, and we had a girl who taught English, big shout out to Denise Smith, not English, she taught Noongar down there with Charmaine Bunnell, another local person, and Denise hadn't been there for 50 years.
Wow.
So to go back and to teach some of her other homies or other mission kids language, because that's sadly what a lot of Stolen Generation people miss. They miss the language and the culture and, I guess, the sense of community, which we know is very strong now.
My guest is Jim Morrison, co-chair of the Bringing Them Home WA Committee, talking about our Stolen Generations who inspire us all greatly. It is Sorry Day around the country on the 26th of May, and the big event happening in Perth in Wellington Square in East Perth, up on Wellington Street, kicking off at about 9:45 in the morning, going till lunchtime. Plenty of activities for the young people, as Jim mentioned, 1,000 kids coming in on school buses to broaden their education, I'm sure, because it's still not taught enough in our schools, is it?
Well, sadly, it's not part of the school curriculum, so we hope by being involved in Reconciliation Western Australia, we're going to be able to advocate that issues like this. Sure, Aboriginal studies is important, but when most of the community are affected by Stolen Generation people, to give you an example, a year after the apology, one third of the Aboriginal prisoners in New South Wales prisons were Stolen Generation peoples, and you still have, I believe, a very strong population, people in juvenile or adult prisons that have been affected by Stolen Generation peoples. I mean, my task from here on is to help state people, individual states, develop a state alliance so that, that we're more effective on a both a state basis and a national basis to feed our issues back to the national body. Last week, for example, I met with a whole range of Stolen Generation people in Adelaide, and these people are receiving compensation. And a bill's been put through to the South Australian government. And, I mean, that could be best practice, and that could set an example to other states. Tasmania's done it. We've had a useless form of redress here in WA and Queensland, but we need something more more effective that's going to be long-lasting for our people, not just to help them help bury them through. And people have been given redress to help a funeral. So a lot of work for us to do.
That's incredibly sad when you put it like that, because, of course, as the longer the years pass, more of our people are passing away and aren't seeing any justice for the suffering that they've had to endure.
I met a lovely lady last week in Adelaide who just made me so sad. She's in her 80s and she doesn't have a birth certificate. And there's so many old people like that that don't have birth certificates. I mean, simply the Bringing Them Home report has three focus areas. It's truth, justice and healing. And you can't have healing unless you have justice, and you can't have healing unless you have the truth. So truth has got to work. So you've got to have your sorry days so that people do remember what happened. People do understand that, and school kids need to understand that. Justice is imperative too. If people have been badly treated, that's just common sense that we provide some sort of compensation or reparation or redress, and then we can heal. But healing is a very strong... There's a very strong need for healing in our community, not just for Aboriginal people, but for the broader community, because the broader community just don't know. The 97% aren't fully aware of what these issues are. You've got 3% of the people that are suffering in this country, and 97% aren't truly reconciled yet.
What's it going to take for that to happen, though?
Well, I suppose no bad habits. Yes, I think we just need some politicians who are genuinely interested in our issues, and we have people that are politicians that really don't understand and probably never will. They need to be walk a mile in our shoes, and that's the reality of it all. They just don't understand.
And it's quite obvious, I know, that through the work that we do at the Aboriginal Legal Service, and you see the overrepresentation of our mob sitting in the courts, sitting in the prison systems. Many people are in there, don't even know why they're in there. More women are being locked up for things like unpaid fines and stuff. You're talking about an 80-year-old woman in Adelaide who's from Stolen Generations, but the legacy of that wouldn't have just affected that one lady. It's intergenerational, the damage and the lifestyle that comes from that to the grandchildren and their families.
Yeah, I was inspired too by some recent work by the Healing Foundation when they'd collaborated with the Deloitte's, and they looked at a cost analysis for healing centres. And what they've done is looked at what it costs to lock someone up, which is $114,000 or thereabouts for an adult. It's twice that amount for a juvenile. But the social impact cost of that, including recidivism, is $500,000. It costs $500,000 to run a healing centre. So, you know, think about your maths for a little while then. Think about social reinvestment, or dare I say, justice reinvestment. So the amount of money that's going into prisons needs to go into healing centres to make our people better qualified, better empowered to just be part of their own families and communities.
Jim Morrison, we are nearly out of time on Law Matters, but not yet. So I want to let you have a few minutes to talk to people about the significance of Sorry Day and what an important and powerful tool it can be in providing more education to the non-Aboriginal community in terms of what our mob have been through over the years.
Well, like I said, there's three focuses for the Bringing Them Home report, and that's truth, justice and healing. Sorry Day is a day we'll always remember. It's Sorry Day for all sorts of reasons. It's a sad day. It's Sorry Day because a lot of our people are still experiencing that sorry business, grief and loss through loss of children and not being able to reconnect with children. And that's always the case and still the case right around Australia. And those people that were removed overseas, they are coming home now. So, and I know quite a few of them, and sadly they're really traumatised by just returning home to their communities. So you've got to have that truth, and so it's got to be firmly embedded in our curriculum. We then have to move on from that and look at reparation and redress, and if it means compensation for certain individuals who were badly treated, and we know how evil the carers were. We know that they were bad, bad people. The perpetrators of sexual abuse of our kids is everywhere now, and you don't have to open the paper. Page 3, we're talking about George Pell being implicated yet again. So you've got to have that justice for people who were badly treated and traumatised and sexually abused. born children while in care, the women, born children. And then it's a matter of acknowledging all of that so that we can move on with our lives and truly reconcile. Australia will never be reconciled unless it really acknowledges their black history. And that's sadly not the case at the moment. So you've got to have that truth before we get some justice. And if you have both of them, well, then maybe we can reconcile. And Stolen Generation peoples have still got a long way to go. And Kevin Rudd saying sorry was a very hollow day, whilst it meant a lot for a lot of Stolen Generation people, and they were able to heal because in their own way, wow, we're being acknowledged. But it opened up a lot of wounds for people, and people are still living that trauma and intergenerational effects of which are everlasting, and it needs to be addressed.
What motivates you to do what you do every day? You wake up and I'm not going to say you're often to fight another battle, but it is a continual sort of trying to redress the inequalities that are still faced in 2015 on a daily basis, isn't it?
Well, Mum and Dad were removed and Mum's still around. She's 88 and Dad fought in a war where he wasn't really treated well and not considered a human being. And the words of a dear friend of mine said, You can't be wrong if you're right, and that was Rob Riley. So there are people that I fight for still, and they are testimonies to me to keep me going and help me get out of bed in the morning.
All right, Jim Morrison, always lovely to have a yarn with you. You'll be at Sorry Day in Perth on Tuesday, the 26th of May.
I will.
And going to see thousands of people down there. Got some guest speakers on the day, hey?
Yes, we're trying to firm them up still. Can I do a shout-out?
Absolutely.
A big shout-out to Ceylon Gard, who hasn't been well. And Ceylon, get well soon. We look forward to seeing you, brother. All the best to you and your family. And all our listeners at Royal Perth Hospital.
Of course. All right, Jim Morrison, we'll see you down there on Tuesday. The Aboriginal Legal Service has got a stall there. There's going to be a heap of other stall holders. Do come down and share in it. Everybody is welcome.